Blog Talk Radio.
That makes all things new. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. It's time to move ahead. We got to let some things go. You know, we can't go to sleep on anger. Can't go to sleep on mad. Can't go to sleep on foolishness. We got to take it to the throne and not to the phone. So many times we want to get on that phone and tell everybody everything. Well, you know, he said, she said, they said, woo-woo said, and you know, boo-boo and them down the street, girl, they was doing this, that, and the other, and you know, no, they don't know. And it's not your place to be all up in everybody else's business. We got to mind our own. Because God knows sometimes our own business is more than what we can handle. We got to give it to God. You know, I have this mug, and I got upset because my mug got broken. And what it said was, this is God, and I'll be handling all your problems today. And I was upset because I'm like, wait a minute. How are you going to break my special mug? When I talk to God and I have my cup of coffee and I look at that mug and it reminds me that God is handling it and that I don't have to worry and that we got to listen to the voice of God. When God says do something, we got to do it. And sometimes what we got to do is a reprimand. What we got to do is to make somebody think about some things that are right, and there are some things that are just downright wrong. And how we treat our children, God will hold us accountable for each and every child. God will hold us accountable. I love God enough to know that he is in charge of everything. God loves us. And he wants you to know it. He wants you to know he loves us like that. He wants to take us higher. But how does he take us higher? By us having time and spending time with him. You got to spend some time with God. That's what we are doing. When we do this blog, I'm sure Mother Valerie would like to be in bed, sleeping good, having her dreams, and knowing, hey, it's all good. I know I would be asleep. I would just be now getting out of bed to get ready for work. But I know one thing. I'd rather get out of bed and get ready to go to work for God above anything and everything else. For I know who is my creator. And I know who he is, my friend, and I'm going to take it to him above anything and everything else. Before you let them fingers do the talking, you need to be on your knees and walking up to the throne and giving it to the Lord. Mother Valerie, good morning, good morning, good morning. Are you ready to take it to the throne, even though we might be on the phone? Hallelujah.
Amen. Good morning. It's a wonderful morning. And taking it to the throne and not to the phone, because the Lord is waiting. It said call him up and tell him what you want. Not call your neighbor, not call your friend, but call God. call them up. Tell them what you want. Tell them what you need. I mean, that's beautiful. Ooh. Take it to the throne and not to the phone, because God is waiting. We are the children of the Most High God, and he's waiting to solve our problem. God don't have a problem. We do. So we need to take it to God, because people can't solve your problems for you. They can't even solve their own problems. So how can they solve yours? Take it to the throne, not the phone.
And not to the phone. Amen. Again, as the word, as my little cup said, this is God, and I will be handling all your problems today. And it's a cup. It's got a little phone on it. And the first time I ever saw that saying, and I try not to get emotional, the toothpick, as my sister Carolyn calls me. The first time I saw that cup card saying was on a card for my boss's wife, who was my friend, and she was transitioning from having cancer. She had cancer, and it was no longer curable or operable, and she was just getting ready for her time with God. And the card that, and every week, every Monday, I had a card for her, just a word of cheer, encouragement. And the card that I had for her for the Monday that she passed was that card, and it had that saying on the front, this is God, and I will be handling all of your problems today. And it was a phone, and it said, I will be there with you. And he was. That day she had God, because that was her day that she transitioned. I read the card at her funeral. And it was one of the biggest funerals indicators. I think hers was just as big as her husband's, who was the first African-American sheriff in the state of Illinois. And I am privileged to have worked for him as sheriff and as the director of the Illinois Department of Corrections. And his wife was the reason that I worked for him, because she asked me to go in to work with him in Springfield. And I did it, and I'm glad I did. It changed my life, and I'm grateful. It helped my family. And so I can only say it was a godsend. He was not only handling her problems, but he was handling mine as well. My husband retired. And his last months on the job, he got to go back to his happy place, working at the State Police Academy, where he was a teacher. And so he got to go back and there for a few months as he retired. So he was happy for that. And we only lived around the corner. Can't beat that with a stick. But understand, God is good all the time. And he loves us so much. And to see that card was the card I was giving her on that day. And it said, this is God, and I will be handling all of your problems today. I'm waiting. He was waiting, and he was waiting, and he was ready, and she was ready. And all we can say is, thanks be to God, called an angel home, because she was an angel. And so thankful, grateful, and blessed to have been in the company of a mighty, mighty woman of God. And as we go forth this morning, Mother, 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 can you pray us in?
Father God, we are grateful. We're thankful. We're grateful children of the Most High God. We thank you for this day, another day to get it right. For this is the day that you made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God, thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you for being Abba, Father. Thank you for being Daddy, God. We just praise your holy name. Bless this time that we're going to have with you, and bless Pastor Bridget, Pastor Jesse. And we just thank you, God, for all that you do, will do, and have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's get into our word this morning. We will be coming out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 30 through 32, verse 20. Also be coming out of the 108th Psalm, chapter 7, 108th Psalm, verses 7 through 13, Proverbs 25, verses 23 through 24, and 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 16 through 33.
Amen.
And Mother Valerie, if you do not mind coming in at Isaiah chapter 32 and completing Psalms 108, 7 through 13, Proverbs 25, 23 through 24, and 2 Corinthians 11, 16, it would be greatly appreciated. So Mother Valerie will be taking over shortly. And the word of God, woo, come on now, don't play with God.
Amen.
Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord. And this is one I need to take to my kids in church, because some of them can be a little rebellious. It's just for generations. I used to tell my son,
amen,
don't even think about it. You know, their dad just would look at him, and all he had to do was just give him a look. Don't even think about it. Cause they, and they already knew, because you don't know who we know. Had to show my grandkids. I told my oldest granddaughter, I said, you better behave yourself wherever you go, because you don't know who your grandmama knows. And she thought I was kidding until I came back to her and told her a few things that I knew that she had been up to. And all she could do was look with her eyes wide. She found out. And then my youngest, we would be out and about, and I'd run into somebody I knew, and they'd be like, and then she finally looked at me. She was probably about six, and to a six-year-old, whenever you go somewhere and your grandmother's stopping to talk to somebody, then you look at, she looked at me, she said, you know a lot of people. And all I could do was laugh. I said, yeah, and I said, and that's why you better always behave yourself, because you never know who grandma has watching you. And you know, and her eyes got big. And then again, a situation happened with her, and I told her all about it, and her eyes got even bigger. She's like, you do know a lot of people, don't you? I said, I do. I said, and we're everywhere. Just remember that. So you have to let them know, I got eyes on you. Don't be rebellious. Don't act up. Because believe me, my youngest grandson, one of my sorority sisters, works at his school. And so he's getting in the car, and we giving each other hugs, and, you know, good to see you. And his eyes are getting big. And I look back at him. I say, Grandma knows people, so you better behave. I got eyes on you. And he just looks like, oh, Grandma. You know, he's still that age. He hasn't quite caught it, but he will. You know, so Mother Valerie knows a lot of people, too. I'm just letting y'all know that. But it says, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit. Come on now. That they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame. And trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. But his princes were as Zion, and his ambassadors came from Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them or be helped or benefit, but ashamed and also a reproach. the burden against the beast of the south, a land of trouble and anguish from which came the lioness and lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys and their treasures on the humps of camels to a people who shall not profit. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore I have called her Rahab, him shall be. Now go write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lion children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seer, do not speak, and to the prophet, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a branch ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And we can speak on this because, Mother, that is what happened. And it was over in Africa. Dam broke. All it takes is a bulge in a dam wall, and the next thing you know, it's going to break. And that is what happened. You know, we got to understand. And I believe it was Libya that the dam broke and over 5,000 people were killed. We got to be careful. But you better understand, therefore, this iniquity, think about it, shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a branch ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the heart or to take water from the stove. In other words, it's broken and useless. But thus is the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. In returning and rest, you shall be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not, you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore we shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. In other words, I'm taking it to the phone. I'm calling my friend, Shay, down the street. You know, she Boo Boo's sister, and she's my friend because I know Shay, she got it. She got it going on, and I know that I can talk to her and that she ain't going to go out and tell all my business. Even though you told Shay you was pregnant at 16 and everybody in the school knew before you even knew good yourself, because you told Shay you took it to the phone and not to the throne. Come on now. Even though the baby was her brother Boo Boo, who shouldn't have been doing something with you in the first place. But we're not going to digress on that story. But the bottom line is, she took it to the phone. We got to quit taking our stuff to the phone and talking to everybody but God. God is the one that will handle the situation. You got to maybe say a thing when God says say a thing. But if God don't tell you to do it, don't do it. But sometimes, sorry, God forgive me, all the time, you got to do what God says do, even when it's uncomfortable to you. You know, I had a situation that I had to handle last night that bothered my spirit. I couldn't go to sleep. And I asked God, Lord, what do I do? And God said, forgive. Let it go. Send this note. God told me everything to say. And then he said, you're done with it. Leave it alone. You don't have to pick up a phone. You don't have to call and give somebody a piece of your mind because you're going to need every bit of it. Send this note and let it go. That's it. Let it go. I'm handling this. You took it to me first. I told you what to do. Now let it go and go to sleep. I got to bed because, you know, something was, it was making me angry and mad. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to go to sleep with an unforgiving heart. And God, I had to go and give it to God. And after I did, he told me how to say something in a calm, righteous manner because I took it to him first. I didn't get on there and let my fingers get to walking in a nasty way. And I didn't get on the phone to say what I had to say. God told me what to say in his way. We got to give it to God because God knows exactly what to do. I can't tell you how to live your life. I can't tell you that you hurt somebody's feelings. I can't tell you what you did better than God. But I can forgive. And that's what we have to do. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Isn't that what the word
Amen.
Of God tells us much? We can't let
yes.
the sun go down on our anger. Because if we do, we could die in our sin. I don't want to die mad at somebody. I don't want to die angry. I don't want to die with an unforgiving heart. We can't do that. We got to ask God, Lord, forgive me for my attitude. And then we got to forgive who caused the attitude. So many times,
Amen.
Again, we want to take it to the phone and talk about everybody and this and that, and he said, she said, and not give it to God. And this is what God said. He said, 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you shall flee. Till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Come on now. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Take it to the throne and not the phone. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. You will be very gracious. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. And I love this saying, this is the way. I'm a, as y'all know, a sci-fi fan. I love sci-fi. I am right in the midst of watching Ahsoka, which is a Star Wars movie or a Star Wars show, waiting for another Star Wars show that's coming on. Love me some Disney Plus, tell y'all that now. But the Mandalorians are a group of warrior-like folks. But and they wear masks. They wear a hood, and they don't take it off in front of anybody. You know, they eat in private, so nobody can see their face, only probably their family. And things they do, they're saying is, this is the way. And when we and I thought about it, you know, because y'all got to remember that George Lucas is in a lot of biblical stuff, and you as you're reading. In the lure of Star Wars, you're realizing, wait a minute, that's in the Bible. Wait, hold it. That's in the Bible. Oh, wait a minute. He is taking all this stuff. That's in the Bible. And then, you
Amen.
Know, Jesus said, I am the way. And I thought, and then they'll say, this is the way. I thought, okay. And a Leviathan, okay. Yeah. All, a lot, a little bit of Easter eggs, as they said, nuggets. Within the lure of Star Wars, if you listen, different places are named after different places in the Bible. I thought, okay, George, I caught you. You easing stuff in, the good, the bad, Darth Vader versus sin or two things, you know, the spirit realm and all this stuff. I'm like, so let me not digress here. But just saying, you know, this is the way, and we know who the way is, even back in Isaiah, because, you know, Isaiah was talking about Jesus all through his prophecies, and he says, this is the way, walk in it. And we know we got to walk with Jesus. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, you will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornaments of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. We got to tell the devil, get away. Then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sowed the ground and bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will be in large pastures. Likewise, the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat curds, fodder, which has been renowned with the shovel and sand. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill, rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Woo. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wounds. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger, and his burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue like a devouring fire. His breath is like an overflowing stream, which reaches up to the neck to shift the nations with the sheaf of fertility. And there shall be a bridle in the jaw of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song, as in the night when a holy festival is kept, the gladness of the heart, as when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard and show the extent of his arm with the indignation of his anger and the flame of a devouring fire with scattering tempests and hailstones. But through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down as he strikes with a rod, and in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him. It will be with the tambourines and harps, and in battles of banishing, he will fight with it. But trumpet was established of old. Yes, for the king is to be prepared. He has made it deep and large, in prayer and fire with much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, kindles it. Woo, and as we go back to chapter 30, life lessons, the first is, woe to the rebellious children who devise plans but not of my spirit. We find it terribly easy to jump ahead of the Lord, come on now, to get our plans in order and our projects in motion before we ask him for his counsel. But he wants to be the engine, not the caboose. We got to talk to God first before we do anything. Take it to the throne and not to the phone. You know, well, I'm going to call and I'm going to get this done and I'm going to get that done. What if that's not what God wants you to do? You got to stop. Take a minute. Get on your knees. And if you can't get on your knees, get on the floor. Lay out. Stand up against the wall. Close your eyes wherever you are. You can be walking through the store and praying. You can be going and cleaning your house and praying. You can pray anywhere at any time and nobody got to know. You don't have to be hollering and whooping and screaming and repetition and all of that. You can quietly say what you got to say to God because God can hear you. You don't have to open your mouth because God can hear you. Because he's always with you. And it says this in Isaiah 30 and 15, the quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And quietness and confidence shall be your strength. God asks us to work hard for his kingdom, but he never instructs us to strive for anything apart from the empowering of his spirit. dependent upon him leads to a quiet, confident spirit. You ain't got stress and worry, and you give it to God. Lord, I'm giving it. Lord, we give it to God. We give it to God. You know, and it says this, the thrilling adventure of obedience. Christians sometimes approach obedience as a way of avoiding the negative consequences of disobedience. They see obedience as a burden, not as a wide road for blessings. But God intended our walk of faith to be a thrilling adventure, motivated by our love for Jesus Christ. Obedience is about discovering God, not about avoiding unpleasant consequences. That is why John can say that this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. When we place our trust in the omnipotence of the Lord and act on his prompting, life becomes exciting. We need not be afraid of the future because God already knows the outcome of our obedience. Thank you, Lord. And as we go back into Isaiah 30:22, this is the way, Mama. Walk in it. The Lord promises Amen. To lead and to guide his people. He doesn't play hide and seek, trying to make it difficult for us to find him. And his will, if we really want to do his will, he promises to make it clear to us. In Isaiah 31:1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses. What is your Egypt? What are your horses? So what do you instinctively turn for help other than your God? Those other things may seem more practical to eyes of flesh that will last. And as we say, Mother, I'm giving it over to you because I have a situation that I need to handle with one of my sons who's traveling. But I just wanted to say thank you all for listening in to Mother and I. I'm turning it over to Mother at chapter 31 Amen. Of the book of Isaiah.
Amen.
And Mother, I will be listening in, but I have to handle a situation.
Okay.
Take it to the throne and not to the phone.
Amen. I'm reading Isaiah 31. It said, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek their God. Woe to those who go to somebody else. You're going to the phone instead of the throne. It said, woe to those who go down to Egypt, rely on horses, but who do not seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster, will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and they're not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. But thus the Lord has spoken to me. When God speaks a thing, it's going to come to pass, because God is speaking. As a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he'll not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for his hill, like birds flying about. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still. God will fight for you. So the Lord of hosts defends Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. Return to him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day, every man shall throw away his idols of silver, the idols of gold, sin which your own hands have made for yourself. How can you bow down to something that your own hands have made, like they bow down to the calf? You can't bow down. I mean, what do you think something, a statue that your own hands have made can do for you? I mean, that's just sinful. The Assyrians shall fall by a sword, not of man, and the sword, not of mankind, shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young man shall become forced labor. Cross over to a stronghold for fear. Prince shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness. Princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest, as river of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, as those who will not be dim, the ears of those who hear will listen. Also the heart of rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. Only God can do that. You know, I knew only God can make a stammerer when you're stuttering, trying to speak plainly, and you can't. You turn that over to God, and God can make you speak plainly. Is there anything too hard for our God? No. Nothing is too hard for our God. If you take it to the throne, not to the phone, but when you take it to the throne, you have to leave it there. Don't go and pick it back up. A lot of people take it to God. They come to the altar and they pray, and they really do bring it to God. But then they take it back up and try to resolve the problems themselves instead of leaving it at the throne. Leave it with God. Just wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. Wait and let him solve the problem for you. A lot of times we want to be like the microwave generation. Put it in the microwave and zoom, zoom, zoom. Within 30 or 40 seconds, it's done. But God wants you to wait. Wait on him. Wait. Sometimes you have to wait and have patience. Just wait. Be of good cheer. Sit there and wait. Let God solve the problem. It will be solved in due season. But you do have to wait. Also, the heart of the rest will understand knowledge. Tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. Foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful. For the foolish person will speak foolishly, and his heart will work iniquity to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord. That is a foolish person when you utter something against God. The God who made the heaven and the earth, who made you, and you're going to talk against him, you're foolish. You're foolish to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he calls the drink of the thirsty to fail. Also, the scheme of the schemer are evil. He devises wicked plans to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks justice. But a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. Rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice, you comfortable daughters. Give ear to my speech. In a year and some days you will be troubled. Your contemplation, women, for the vintage will fail. The gather will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you contemplate one. Strip yourselves. Make yourselves bare. Gird sackcloth on your waist. People shall moan upon their breasts. For the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine, on the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city, because the palace will be forsaken. The bustling city will be deserted. The forts and towers will become lairs forever. A joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. That's what God is telling us to do. Wait for the Spirit to be poured upon us from on high. And the wilderness become a fruitful field. The fruitful field was counted as a forest. Then justice will dwell in wilderness and righteousness remain in fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. God is forever. And when we go to be with God, it is for always. It's forever. It's forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in a quiet resting place. God will give us a quiet resting place. Though hell comes down on the forest and the city is brought low in humiliation, blessed are you who sow beside all waters. As Pastor said, this is our season. Whatever we have sown, we shall reap. For this is our season. Who send out freely the feet of the ox and the donkey. I'm reading Psalms 108:7-13. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will devise Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Eden I will cast my shoe. Over Philistine I will triumph. Who will bring me into a strong city? Who will lead me to Eden? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble. Help of man is useless. And that's a true statement. The help of man is useless. You need the help of Almighty God. Help of man will stand only for a little time. The help of God stands forever. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. My Lord. The other day they said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him some water. I mean, when we look at that, and you're talking about the enemy, if he's hungry, give him, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him some water. But that's what the Word of God is saying, do. And if we do what the Word of God tells us to do, we will triumph. We will be blessed. A lot of times, you say, something told me not to get up and go out today. Something told me to stay home. That something is the Spirit of God talking to you. And we need to listen. It ain't something told me. You're calling God something because you don't recognize that it's the voice of Almighty God. He's telling you what to do for that day. Like Pastor Jessie said, she asked God what to put on for the day. You can't go wrong if you inquire of God what to do. I mean, God won't lead you wrong. He won't steer you wrong because he's a father. Just like you, if you have children, you're not going to tell your children something wrong to do. You're not going to lead them astray. God gives his children to guide them. And when they're with you, they learn to trust you. They learn to walk. If they come, baby, come, and they come. If you tell a child to jump out of a window and you're down there to catch it, because the child trusts you like we trust God, that child trusts you, and that child will actually jump out of a window. And you're right there, and you will catch that child just like God would catch us if we trust him, if we believe. All only thing that he asked us to do is to believe. To believe. If I said I was going to give you $100, you'll say, oh, thank you, Mother. Thank you. So all we have to do is to believe this word. God have left the word. He have left this word right down here. And like I say all the time, everywhere I go, I see God. I mean, there's no place I go that I don't see God. This is the time of year that you can really see God because the leaves are turning orange and brown. I don't care where you go. You can be in the ghetto. No matter where you go, you're going to see God as if you're looking for him and you can't help. He said he left part of himself here. So you really can't help but to see God everywhere you go. I'm reading Proverbs 25:23-24. North winds bring forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. Oh, my gosh, backbiting. Backbiting. Backbiting is horrible. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Oh, my goodness. Don't nobody want to be in the house with a contentious woman. It's better to dwell in the corner, just in a corner. be in the corner of a housetop than in the house here with a contentious woman. A contentious woman is something else. You don't want to even be around here. It's better to be in the corner of a housetop. I said, my Lord, God is good. I'm reading 2 Corinthians 11:16-33. I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly and disconfident of boasting. He said he's speaking foolishly and disconfident of boasting, saying that many boast according to the flesh. I also will boast. Well, you put up with fools gladly, since for you yourself are wise. Well, you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measures in prison, more frequently in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day. I have been in the deep, in journeys, often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, perils of wilderness, in perils of sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleepiness, often in hunger and thirst and fasting, often in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is made to stumble, and I do not burn within the nation. That's Paul speaking. He said, I speak as a fool. I was in prison. And from the Jews, I received 40 stripes, minus one. He said, I was beaten with rods. I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day. A lot of times when you go through so much, and he went through so much, you feel like giving up. But that just goes to show you that all the things that he went through, he trusts in God. He took it to the throne and not the phone. He called him up and told God what he wanted. I mean, God was with him, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, even when he was shipwrecked 3 different times, he went through a lot of different things. But he didn't give up. I mean, we have to go through, but you can't give up. You have to know who you trust, know who you rely on. Well, your help comes from God. It don't come from man. Man can't help you with that. Man is going through some things himself, so how can he help you? Take it to the throne. Take it to God. And when you take it there, leave it there. Don't pick it back up. He said, I've been in the deep, in journeys, in perils of waters, in perils of my own countrymen. His own countrymen wanted to kill him. Perils of Gentiles, wilderness, false brethren, weariness, sleeplessness. I've been hungry. I've been thirsty. I mean, he went through a lot. He was hungry. He was thirsty. If you got hungry pains and you're thirsty too, that's a lot. And you're sleepy. He couldn't get no sleep. Paul went through a whole lot. But he didn't give up on God. He kept his focus on Jesus Christ, our Lord. He did not give up. And he went through a lot. He's telling you, in sleepiness, often hungry and thirst and fast and cold. And he was naked. He said, that's besides the other things which comes up on me daily. I mean, he went through all of this, but he never, ever, ever, ever quit. He didn't give up on God. My Lord. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not mine. He said, I'm not mine. He said, I'm telling the truth. You know, a lot of times when people tell you that they're going through all of this and all of that, and this happened to me and that happened to me, and, oh, I went through this. Paul, he said, I'm not lying. When people tell you what they go through, a lot of times you don't believe it because it's so much. He said, I'm not lying. He said, in Damascus, the governor under the king Aretas, the king was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hand. You know, I saw a movie about that when they let Paul down the wall. I mean, they were chasing him, and he had to leave that city, and they let him down. You know, he said, I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. They let him down in a basket, and then he ran. He ran for his life. A lot of times when they don't receive you in one city, the Bible said go to another city, shake the dust off your feet, keep on moving. I mean, all you can do is tell them we are ambassadors for Christ, and all we can do is tell them. We tell them. I'm reading Life Lesson. Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation. Paul felt such a close connection with the churches he helped started that he took personally their trouble and challenge. Only through such close connection can we grow into the people God called us to be. We have to be connected to God. We have to know that we know. When Jehovah Witnesses come to your door, well, you know, I don't really let them in. I used to, and then God said no. You know, bid them farewell. I don't let them in because they're not talking the same talk that we're talking. You have to have a close connection. Can we grow into the people of God? Only way we can grow into the people of God, we have to have a close connection. And as Pastor says, no distractions. You can't let people, things, and other stuff distracts you from God. No, Pastor Jesse said, no distractions. Whatever's going on, it will be no distractions today. None whatsoever. You have to tell the devil to flee, get out of here, and go. We have the power to tell the devil to go back to hell from whence he comes. Go, go, go. No distractions. And, you know, that's a shame. It really is a shame. People do try to distract you. That's just why she was talking about Samson and Delilah. Delilah was a big distraction for Samson because he loved women. And Samson wasn't deceived. No, he was not. Samson knew. He knew what Delilah was up to because she did it three different times. Samson, the Philistines are up on you. And he broke loose. He was not deceived, but a female and Delilah, she worried him so much. Tell me where your strength lies. Tell me if you love me, tell me. Okay, he really did love her, but he was not deceived by that woman. He wasn't deceived. He knew Delilah. He knew what she was up to. He was not a deceived man. He knew what she was trying to do, and she kept on telling him. So no distractions. If he had just did what God told him to do, he wouldn't have been distracted. Okay, I'm reading Isaiah 32:2. Be their arm every morning. When you first get out of bed in the morning, where do your thoughts run? Not everyone does devotion in the morning. But every one of us can and should begin our day with a grateful acknowledgement of God's presence. And, you know, when I get up in the morning, I do say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to go to the bathroom, brush my teeth, and then coming and sit down with the Word of God. We have to acknowledge God's presence because a lot of people can't even get up out of the bed. They have to wait for somebody. They can't get out of the bed and brush their teeth and thank God. I mean, even if you're in the bed, you can thank God. But a lot of times people are in the hospital. They are patients, and they have to wait for the nurse. Ah, we have so much to be grateful for. When you can walk with your own two legs. I knew a person at Sangamon Tower, and the man had both of his legs cut off, both legs. And I asked him, you know, how do you sleep? He said, I sleep up in the chair. I don't try to get in the bed. So we have a lot to be thankful for when we can get up on our own thing, go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, eat your cereal, eat oatmeal, or whatever you want, drive the car, go to work, do the things that you want to do, that God allows you to do. We have so very much to be thankful for. And I am thankful. He said not every one of us can and should begin our day with a grateful acknowledgement of God's presence. God said that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. In Jesus' name, I'm going to turn this back over to the pastor. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. Very thankful.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, Mother, thank you so much. A word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And the word from her is this. Good morning. Listen to this. God never said that everything would be fair or easy, but he did promise that it would all work out for your good. Stand in faith. Have a word of God Wednesday. And how do we have a word of God Wednesday? We take it to God, not to the phone, but to the throne. Thank you so much, Mother, for coming in. Please keep my son, Adam, in your prayers. He had a flat tire this morning on his way home, so just had to help him with a situation, because the one thing you don't want to have is a blowout, especially on the road, and he was between cities, so just had to talk him and tell him some information that he didn't have. And who to call. So thanking God for all of you. Please keep him in your prayers. And just keep our children in your prayers. So many are traveling the highways and byways. We pray for our sister in Christ, Evangelist Shannon, who will be traveling today into early hours of tomorrow morning. So we're asking God to get her on the right train and that everything will work out for she and her granddaughter as they travel. Just thanking God again for her visit, and unfortunately, we're going to next time have a visit without it having to be a funeral with it. So we just ask God to watch over each and every one of you, and as we pray our prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours as you pray over me and mine. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. God bless you, and remember, as Sister Carolyn said, God never said that everything would be fair or easy. He had promised that it will all work out for your good. Stand in faith. Have a word of God Wednesday. Mother, thank you. Excuse me. God bless everybody. Have a great and wonderful day. As it is for us, a wrap, because I got to go to work. Take care, be blessed, and have a great day. Mom, have a good rest. I'll see you
tonight. It's a wrap.
Take care. It's a wrap.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.